Hey, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth Presents Interviews. This week, we are doing our Dragon Con 2021 recap. Yeah, they actually had Dragon Con and everybody on this panel was there. So joining us, it'll be me and Jeff, and also joining us, Brian Silverbacks, comic book artist, illustrator, actor, cool dude, and also Shane Wirth, who we've spoken to before. Shane, the tortured Wirth. We spoke to him back in season 4 on episode 17. That was the whole month of April back then, when we just only spoke to people from Adult Swim, and Shane was tortured on Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell. And of course, Brian has been on the show a number of times. So welcome back to both of you guys. And hello, Jeff.
Howdy.
I'm happy to be here, guys. You know, I'm all being this past year, I just love talking to other human beings that aren't derps.
Yeah, it is nice to speak to people, see people, because we're so, I don't know, we're stuck in our homes. But, you know, I speak to somebody every day who can only Google. we have our newborn son. He's almost 4 months old.
I saw you took pictures. I was like, holy cow, like the baby shouldn't be that big at this age. I guess I was in a time loop or something. I was like, he's got someone else's kid.
Yeah. We found an older one to trick everybody with.
So you got one of them changeling babies.
Changeling. I think I saw you guys at the beach.
Yeah, Caitlin and I went to the beach, and it was St. Simon's, and we met her mom in Savannah. She flew into Savannah, and we went to the beach. It was nice. It was great to get away. And actually, I guess he enjoyed it as much as you can at that age. You don't know, really. He did get to try ice cream for the first time, and sure loved it, because you can tell he's like, what's this stuff? Holy shit, this is better than that formula.
I'm going to go ahead and say that you have a very William H. Macy vibe going on, and I like it. I'm picturing Burt Reynolds coming in the scene right now.
Well, I like it. Let's see.
We were kind
of. I was thinking Mark Maron. He was about to get some glow girls in behind him, you know.
That I would like better than, well, I don't know, because you have the porn set or the glow girls where you don't know what's really going to happen. So I got to go with the porn set.
Yeah. So Dragon Con was fun, man. I didn't realize how much I had missed seeing people that I guess I only really see at Dragon Con.
Right.
And I didn't realize that I had not seen them since the last time there was a Dragon Con.
Yeah. 2 years ago. So yeah. You know, that's a long, long, long time, especially for something like that, that we all wait for every year. It's such an amazing convention, and it's been going on for years. If you've been around Atlanta, or if you've ever, you know, been to a con that big in, you know, 2020 really screwed that for everybody. But they did manage to put it on, and it was about half of the normal attendance. So that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, they didn't sell Saturday passes. I think that was as far as I could tell, that seemed to be the only real noticeable difference is Saturday attendance, especially on the floor where I was located. Well, it was almost like a regular Friday afternoon show when people are still at work. Like, where the hell is everybody?
It did have that feel. It did, yeah.
Yeah, it was like Sunday was the new Saturday, because Friday and Saturday, I went to the vendor hall. And I only usually go to the vendor hall like once because it's so long of a way to get in. Friday and Saturday, I walked right in. Sunday, there was a line around the block. So it was like kind of like Sunday was the new Saturday, because nobody could buy passes for Saturday.
I think that was done. I guess they said that so people wouldn't just go for the parade. Is that what it was? I forget why they did it that way.
I think just having low numbers would increase the social distancing aspect. Yeah. And if someone were to be a super spreader, like, I guess it would just not be as, I don't know, but I tell you what, my bank account knows that something happened on Saturday.
See, I had to be careful. There were a lot of people there I wanted to meet. I saw everybody there from Battlestar Galactica is an actor whose autograph I don't have. I have a whole bunch.
Oh, wow.
And I really wanted to meet a couple of those people, but the lines were easy and I wouldn't have had to wait that long. But again, I'm thinking, well, you know, three autographs is two things of baby formula. So doing all that math in your head. And I wanted to meet our guests from Land of the Lost, but they were busy and you know, again, it came down to money. I didn't want to go bother them, but it was nice to walk through that hall, walk through the Walk of Fame, and they had it orderly. You went in, you went around in a circle, and you couldn't meander around like you used to be able to do. And you had to go back out and come back in if you wanted to go through it again. But it flowed well. And, you know, the celebrities that were in there and the famous people, they all seemed to be, you know, chill with taking pictures and stuff. So,
well, I had a booth mate on Saturday, which is a friend of the show, Ming Chen. He came over and hung out, and we talked Saturday. The attendance was very low, so there wasn't much. We ended up bullshitting most of the time without interacting with anybody. But he said that he had just come over from the Walk of Fame, and it was crickets over there as well.
Wow. Well, how were the panels? Did either of you guys appear on a panel or?
Oh, I'm not cool enough.
No, I help run the switcher for panels, but or run the video camera, but never used to be on a panel. But I did sit in the Eggleston's panel running the switcher.
Chris Eggleston from Doctor Who. Eggleston.
Yeah. I never watched Doctor Who. Uh-huh. But I always think him as a bad guy in Gone in 60 Seconds. And I wanted to ask questions about that. But, of course, working the event, I couldn't really say, hey, give me the mic. Hey, tell me about Gone in 60 Seconds, you know. So,
he's in that Nicolas Cage, Angelina Jolie movie, Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yeah.
I actually like that one.
Yeah, I don't remember him being in it. I'm going to have to watch it again.
You could be right. I haven't seen it in forever.
Yeah, we saw it.
I don't think I knew Christopher Eccleston at all until Doctor Who, so. That would have been well after that movie, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they probably asked him a lot of questions about The Leftovers, which was the last series he was on that I'm aware of. That was a pretty popular series that was on HBO. So, Shane, what did you do besides work the convention? Did you go around? Did you check things out? Did you spend money? Did people recognize you and ask for your autograph?
No, nobody ever recognizes me, especially now. So, you know, because I was, the tortured soul in your pretty face and,
right.
I was 350 pounds, and now I'm 220. And also, when you're wearing a mask the whole time, even people you know, a lot of times I couldn't recognize them until I got up and be like, oh, it's so-and-so, you know. So, or they recognize my costumes that I was bragging about wearing. So I dressed up as Captain America and Shazam and a couple other folks this past one. So, I mean, I had a pretty good time. I enjoyed Saturday because I could go from hotel to hotel without being, you know, shoved in one of the hamster tubes and feel like I was being claustrophobic and everything. And I wanted to do the vendor hall, and I talked to Wesley Yurt and Kathy Coleman from Land of the Lost. I actually talk to Wesley on Facebook every now and then. And
real nice people.
Yeah, they're real nice. And I was going to get Zachary Levi's autograph and photo, and I went and got in the line. And then they were like, oh, cash only. And I'm like, well, I don't carry cash, you know, so.
Yeah.
But he did at least see me. I was wearing my classic Shazam costume. And at least he was like, hey, you better watch out. Black Adam's walking around here. And I'm like, he better watch out, you know. So that was a fun little exchange.
Yeah, I wondered if Zach Levi got to see you in your Shazam outfit.
Yeah, I made sure he saw my Shazam outfit. Because, you know, since they've been filming it, I've been trying to get onto that one, but they haven't picked me for anything. I'm like, come on, you need Uncle Marvel. Let's go. I've lost the hair. Let's do it, you know.
Well, both of you guys are get work in the acting business. You know, Hollywood's big down here. What are some of the latest things you've been involved with?
Well, for me, I got picked for a SWAT officer for Shazam, and I went and got all duded up, they pay you for your 2 COVID tests, and they paid me to go get the uniform fitted and all that stuff. And then the day before shooting, they said that they had scheduled too many SWAT officers, and I got the axe.
Uh-oh. Did you still get paid though?
I got paid, but not like for the appearances I would have made. So I got paid for all my time that they did get, I got paid for. But that was, and then they wrapped shooting, I think, 2 weeks ago.
Mm. Well,
yeah, I haven't really done anything since season 4 of Your Pretty Face because, you know, COVID hit, and then they started doing stuff again. But I work a regular full-time job. I just do it, you know, basically for fun, and if I can get like more than just like, hey, walk behind that guy, you know, I'll take time off and do it. But I put in for one or two things, which they were going to use me on. But the biggest problem is to say it filmed on a Friday. You know, I got no problem taking that Friday off of work. But the 3 days before, they want you to get a COVID test every single day. So I would have had to have a COVID test Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Based on the far end of town, so I'd have to take off work, go to wherever they are, get tested, come back, and I'm like, no, it's just not.
That has made things really difficult. Is so Pinewood, they're filming a lot of things down in Trillith Studios, and you have to drive down to Trillith from wherever you are to take the COVID test, come back home, and then again before you fit or before fitting, you have to go take another COVID test, come back, and the fitting is at Trillith. So you'll end up making, you know, four trips down to Fayetteville and before you even step a foot on set.
Now, is that even if you have, even if you've been vaccinated?
Correct.
Wow.
And even while you're on set. So even if you're vaccinated on set, you're still wearing one of those K95 hard to breathe through masks.
Wow.
So it's become a little difficult.
Yeah, for me, I wish I'd got picked for something at Trillith because I'm in Newton, so that's not too far away, but the stuff I was getting picked for was filming over in Union City, but the test was like over in Norcross. I'm like, well, screw that.
That doesn't make any sense to me. I just, if you're vaccinated, I don't know why they got to keep testing you all the time. I guess they bought a lot of tests and they want to use them up.
No, but so there is two things that I have coming up. One is going to be, I think, on Shudder. I'm on the first episode of season 3 of Creepshow. I'm an inmate for that one.
And you were taking pictures of that. I think I saw it on your Facebook page.
Yeah, because we had a dude working with us who was 6'9", solid muscle. That dude was a giant. So he's trying to work his way into doing stunts. Right. But and then recently I started taking acting classes here in Smyrna. Yeah, so Door D Productions. It's a guy who's moved over here from LA. Josh Doherty, and I'm really enjoying myself. Like I didn't realize how to get to emotional places. And then I'm like, shit, man, I'm too macho for that. And then I'm thinking about it. I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. So it's going to be a fun year of me taking these classes and trying to see if I have what it takes to step my game up as far as like the on camera stuff.
Nah, dude, that's awesome that you'd be willing to put yourself out there like that. It's something you got passion for and, you know, you want to increase your value when you try out for these roles. So, you know,
yeah.
Kudos to you for doing it. It's
thank you. I just want to have fun, man. And that's just another way to have fun, I think.
Yeah. And learn and hone your abilities. That's amazing. I've never taken any acting class. Jeff and I took an acting class together in college, but we didn't act the whole time. We did the Odd Couple scene. A scene from The Odd Couple.
And let's see, I got the first and last episode of Step Up season 3, which I think comes on Star Network or Stars.
Star.
Where the season 1 is where I get to arrest the singer Neo. I get to put him under house arrest. And then I came back for the season finale where I get to arrest him and drive him off again. So I guess during the rest of the season, he got back in trouble because this time I'm taking him in.
I think you would have been good for Heels.
Yeah.
That would be fun as a new, I really like wrestling, and this AEW shit has got me jacked to watch wrestling again. And to be on a show like Heels would be the jam, but I don't know where they filmed that.
I think that was all filmed up in Lawrenceville area or around there.
I'll make the trip.
Yeah.
Now, if y'all did watch DCTV, I did release some new Dadpool skits this last time around. So
I'll have to check them out.
That's available all the time, right? People want to watch Dadpool, they can go where and see it?
I don't know if they've posted the new videos yet, but they'll be on the DragonCon TV YouTube channel at some point.
Did you guys, either of you, watch the parade?
Yeah.
I did not.
No, I was catching a bit sleep at that point. But I've been in the parade. I've been up enough for enough parades that I could sleep in. I could hear it, but I was sleeping it at that time. But
I watched it on the CW, and then I watched it also on Dragon Con TV.
Yeah. Did it feel the same?
I didn't make it down there. The parade part was cool, but the crowd was really sparse. Like, there was hardly anybody there watching.
Especially, yeah, I mean, compared maybe, to maybe everybody did a good job and they didn't get sick. I mean, but hopefully we'll have this shit under control by next year, because it just wasn't the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one thing I would say. I had fun because I got to see a lot of people I hadn't seen in a long time. But you could definitely tell the vibe was just a little off from normal. You know?
Yeah, I could tell that when I was down there. It was weird because there was so much space.
If you made it up to the fourth floor, you guys talked to Jamie Reeves, you know, before Dragon Con. There's so much more space. Like, Jamie had to open up the artist floor.
Yeah.
And there it was like I could have set up a campsite, like how much space we had. Like, I didn't bring enough gear to fill up my space. I was like, holy shit, Jamie, this is awesome. Look at all this space. I got loggerhead everywhere. But so he said, don't get used to it. But right. I was like, oh, that was pretty cool. So yeah. One thing I noticed that was awesome this time around was the amount of Loki variants that attended the show. So with the Loki television show on Disney Plus being set up the way it is to say all these different Lokis exist, there's no excuse not to cosplay. Like, all you have to do is be Tim Andrews, put on some horns and say, dude, I'm a Loki variant. And I think it's really opened up the ability for people that maybe had body types that didn't lend themselves to being superheroes that everybody recognized. So more people were able to just embrace the fact that, hey, I'm just a variant of this super popular character. I'm going to enjoy cosplay as well. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, for sure. I saw a ton of those Loki horns all over the place.
Yeah. I saw a Loki Deadpool.
Loki Deadpool. That's cool.
Well, I mean, Deadpool's been being a variant of everything since before there were variants, because if you've gone to the Deadpool conga or whatever, the Deadpool people, they just always do mashups. But, you know,
yeah.
I did see less Deadpools and Harleys than I normally see too. So that was a little bit like weird, because normally you just shake your fist in any direction, there's a Deadpool and a Harley.
Normally I see a lot of Negans. I don't think I saw maybe one Negan the entire
weekend. I didn't see any. Yeah. Wow. You're right. I didn't see any. And I didn't see any of
Harley Quinn.
Yeah. Harley Quinn. Yeah. And, you know, now that DC is de-hoarder, you know what I mean? They took away the Daddy's Little Monster and the slut look, and now she looks cool and like a fighter.
Yeah.
As opposed to eye candy. I didn't see any of that either. I wanted to, though, because I think that's a great character, and just about any woman can do it. Any guy can do it. Anybody can do it if they want to. You just got to rock the look. So.
Yeah, so I noticed that there was a shift in the cosplaying, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think I saw nearly as many anime cosplays as normal. But then again, I'm on the fourth floor, so I didn't really get to drink in all the conga lines and lobby mashups and stuff like that. Oh, I got something to share. Mm-hmm. So I talked to Ming. Ming stayed an extra day, and he's like, Brian, what are you doing today? And I was like, I thought you were on a plane. He said he was going to a hotel and he's going to stay the night, because apparently everybody that's checking out of the hotel on Monday takes their liquor to this special area. I don't know where it is. And it's just free to consume for anybody. So he was just going to hang out and get all the liquor that people were dropping off. And I was like, oh, if you had caught me like 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's the disposable party. A lot of people started staying an extra day, and then that day they set up, I think it's in the Hilton on like the fifth floor.
The disposal.
Break down whatever they haven't drank and then just go to town. Like, y'all go to town. So that's why a lot of people are now staying till Tuesday. So Monday.
Yeah, free alcohol. Load up your van and take it home with you.
Oh, I was able to score one of these, though.
That's awesome. How much was he charging for those?
$20.
What is it?
Oh, man.
It's a little vinyl Ming Chen with his purple Thanos arm figure that he had made for Astronomicon. They gave him some extras, and so he was selling them at my table. And he's like, "Oh, you can have one."
That's cool.
I would have liked to have got down there on Saturday, grab one of those.
Well, you got to message me, man, because not only that, not that it does anybody any good, but I had an extra pass the whole weekend.
Dang. Yeah, it was tough this year for a couple of Radio Labyrinth. You know, just it was tough to get down there, you know.
I was expecting when Ming came up, I was like, are Tim and Jeff, are they doing anything after hours this time? Or I was kind of.
Next year, I want to host if we can, like do a podcast recording there. You think we can do that, Jeff? We'll ask. We're going to talk.
Yeah, I think we probably would have been allowed to this year, but I just didn't really want to. I didn't want to have to ask somebody to come when it might be uncomfortable, you know, to
right.
be in a close space like that and be face-to-face recording and have to wear masks during the recording.
It is a little weird now. It is a little weird with
probably that. Separate you with plexiglass in each one and y'all be in your own little plexiglass coat booth, you know. So.
Yeah, I don't think they had a setup like that where we could have done it, but we could have tried to figure something out. But yeah, hopefully by next year, things will be better.
Oh, so they had John Romita Jr.
Yeah.
Upstairs, Chris Claremont, Joe Rubenstein. Like, I was like, holy cow. And Chris Claremont had a new variant cover for Wolverine number one that only he had made for himself. So I ended up picking up one of those exclusive Chris Claremont Wolverine number ones.
Now, is it a print or it's a drawing that he did?
No, it's a reprint of the comic book of the old Frank Miller book.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Wow.
So instead of Wolverine with his claws doing the come here, mm-hmm. it's a different cover that he had commissioned. So I got him to sign it and I got Joe Rubenstein to sign it.
Damn, that's awesome.
Do you have any final thoughts on DragonCon and what you might be looking forward to next year?
For me personally, I'd like for Jamie to kind of keep a little bit of the space. I really enjoyed how much space we had up there. Other than that, I just hope that people show up and they haven't forgotten about upstairs next year. But I had a lot of fun. I'll go every year until they tell me not to come.
Did you make any money at all?
I broke even on the whole weekend, which still isn't great. But
no, it's not great.
Next year, I'm going to switch my presentation up to be 100% all Cara Prime, all Loggerhead. So that way people will want to come up and ask me more about what I have going on personally. Because at that point, I'll have like 6 issues done.
Right.
Well, give a plug.
Oh, caraprime.com, K-E-R-R-A, prime.com.
And Shane, do you have any final, did you give blood, by the way?
I did. I've got O positive, so they're always
right
for my blood. So that was the first thing I did, because the lines were really short the very first day I was there. So I don't know how they got later on, but I gave down there and gave blood and did what I had to do. And I mean, I had a blast, and I'll keep going to Dragon Con as long as there is a Dragon Con, you know, and hopefully by next year, things will be back to, you know, a little bit more of what it used to be is what I'm hoping. So,
you know, it was kind of nice only having 40 some thousand people there.
Yeah. You know, it was a nice change because, you know, anywhere I wanted to go, I got there quick. It was no like, oh, you're at the Hilton, I'm at the Hyatt. Well, I'll meet you in about 40 minutes because it's going to take me to meander through because you got to stop for somebody with some big wings and giant T-Rexes clogging up the highways, you know.
A lot of people were taken to the outside routes between the hotels too and not using the hamster trails.
I usually do that, but this year I'm like, oh no, it's too cool inside and there's nobody in my way, so I stick with the hamster trails. Normally I'll go outside, but now that my only complaint this year was in the Marriott, they had 4 elevators down out of the things they had, and they never fixed them the whole weekend.
Oh, I'm that like, sucks.
For those people staying in that hotel, I'm like, oh man, because it was 2 on the, what, it goes like 4, 1 to 17, and then the other ones were like 18 or something else. 2 on that side were broken, 2 on that side were broken. I'm like, man, for those people, it's because I was seeing them constantly waiting for an elevator.
Jeez.
But, you know, that's not DragonCon's fault. That's the hotel. So.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Tim.
Yeah,
thank
and we're going to see you, what, in a couple of months or in a couple of weeks? When is that, Jeff?
Usacon, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll all be there. We'll have to have a beer or something.
Absolutely.
And thank you to all you radios.
All All right, joining us now in our recap episode, Radio Labyrinth Presents Interviews, is Mr. Dan Carroll. You all know Dan Carroll. He was on a couple of weeks ago. He is DragonCon's Director of Media Engagement. Now let's talk about the success that was DragonCon 35.
It was successful.
Yes, it was fun. It was successful. It was half the size of the previous two years previous, but it was a manageable crowd in these weird times. And you know what? When I was down there, Dan, I was paying attention to certain things. Everybody seemed to be following, to my ability to notice, was following all the protocols they could, especially the masks and stuff like that.
Yeah, we had really good compliance with the masks. We had we did actually have really good compliance with the parade also, with the non-badge spectators staying away because they're decent humans.
Yes.
But my favorite story about the mask, it's a very personal story. I was being interviewed by a local Atlanta TV station, 11 Alive. And while I am speaking about mask protocols, the gentleman behind me lifts his mask up, takes a swig from his beer, and pulls his mask immediately right down. And we didn't know who he was. I had no idea that was happening. But to watch that was a DragonCon crowd. We wanted to be safe. We wanted to do things fine. There was very little shenanigans. I mean, fun shenanigans happened. Lots of it. There was very few shenanigans that we need to get security involved.
The bad shenanigans. Bad shenanigans. Shenanigans. 42,000 people, I guess that's the official total that I'm seeing.
That is 42,000.
And that's still a big crowd, no matter how you slice it. But one thing we were talking about, Jeff and I were talking about, is that you get to the point where the con has grown so much over the year that there's just so many people. It's a sea of people. And then I got down there and I was like, where are all the people? There were a lot of people, don't get me wrong. It's just that you could move around and it was nice and everything, but it's a weird thing because you kind of want all that energy and to see all the different costumes and stuff. So that's what we hope we get to next year in 2022. We want to see everybody back.
Well, again, I'm not talking, I mean, while I am here as a DragonCon spokesperson, I'm talking mostly about my own experiences rather than anything official besides the counts and the tallies. But right. One of the things I loved was that there were people in the Hyatt, for instance, over by 22 Stories. I strongly recommend anybody who's looking for a good burger in Atlanta, 22 Stories is always an option for you. So 22 Stories had people. There were people milling around. And yet part of the Hyatt lobby was free to walk if you wanted to walk in a social distance way. I really like that. I think we had better maneuverability on the elevators for the most part, which are always, you know, difficult. As you guys know, I did the event on a scooter.
Yeah,
I have what I call medically wonky legs, and I can walk. It's just I'm not going to be able to walk to do everything I need to do at DragonCon. So I use a scooter, and I found very little difficulty navigating with that. So it was a little bit thinner crowds. I mean, half the people of the last time we had DragonCon in person. But still, there were crowds there, and the events were full. I mean, gosh, I had a 1 o'clock panel on Monday that I sat on, and my anticipation walking across to the Marriott to be on this panel was, we're going to have 8 people. And I walked in, and I thought they still had the previous panel in there because it was filled. I was just late. But the seating was reduced for everything, two-thirds capacity for all the seating. And they were not allowing standing room only once that seating was filled.
Well, it did seem like there were good lines of people, socially distanced, of course, but it did seem like there were good lines of people waiting to get into some of the events. And I thought that was cool. I did a lot of people watching this year, and I did go through the Walk of Fame is my usual beeline when I get there, but I just wanted to observe And it was cool. People were having fun and you could sit outside and watch the people walk by. That's always been my favorite thing to do. Now I like going to panels and meeting celebrities, but I just like to people watch and see how much fun other people are having, and kids are there with their parents, and just a great time. And I'm glad that I went down.
A lot of people were wearing masks outside too, which is above and beyond protocol.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I wore a mask anytime I was in. I mean, if I was in a solid crowd outside, I would leave my mask on. But I'm guilty of leaving my work badge on until 10 o'clock at night. I tend to forget I'm wearing something and just keep it on. But so I'm a little bit different. In fact, I violated the mask rules at one point. I walked into the Hilton without a mask on, immediately realized what I had done and put the mask back on. So, and I think that was a lot of the behavior I saw, but you know, a lot of folks are really comfortable with the smaller size, and, you know, Dragon Con does a juggling act to make sure that the prices are kept at such a point where we can allow people who may not have $400 to spend on a convention pass to come to Dragon Con. Well, at the same time, we have had increases over the years to kind of curtail that giant explosive growth.
Well, you have to balance it. And the thing that keeps it cool is that it's still downtown. You're not stuck in a giant convention center.
Right.
And, you know, any place that has a convention center can hold a convention. We have downtown Atlanta and it's hotels and it's, you know, walking and it's interacting and it's seeing other people. And then we also have other things going on, you know, the football crowd and the pride crowd. Everybody was mingling and it looked like a good time. People were having fun.
I heard very few complaints. So while you were there, Tim and Jeff, did you get involved in any of the new cults that formed this year?
No, I didn't join any new cults, but tell me, what were they?
The first was the Cult of John returning from 2019.
I saw the shrine, which was not in the correct spot, but...
They actually put two shrines up.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Yeah, one was between the food courts and the Marriott in that walkway, and one was between the Hyatt and the Marriott in that walkway. And that one of the shrines, or maybe both of them, were finally removed. And the next morning, there was a shrine to the evergreen ship that got caught in a Suez Canal.
I saw that.
Did you hear anything from any of the celebrities about how the Walk of Fame was with the plexiglass and the distancing and stuff? Were they okay with it?
Yeah, they seem to be. I only got to speak to three celebrities this year, and one of them I spoke to twice. So maybe four if you count the brain twice. So Maurice Marsh. I had friends who were on the Walk of Fame who were never there when I walked through, and just for the record, when I get somebody's autograph in the Walk of Fame, I also pay them for their effort and time, and this year more than ever. But the only one I talked to seemed to just be having such a blast, because he always has a blast at Dragon Con, is Eddie McClintock, who also hosted the masquerade.
That masquerade was great, and his co-host on that, her makeup for she was like a black and white character. Yes. from a black and white movie. I forget what her name was, but
that is Tony Gowell. And I'm going to throw out, Tony Gowell is not only one of Dragon Con's premier presenters managing, he basically gets stuck with any panel where they have big guests and they don't have somebody designated specifically for that guest. But he also, probably you might know him from Walking Dead, he was the zombie in a pit that everybody threw, where the governor threw people in for him to eat.
Oh, okay.
But he also runs the Dragon Con office along with Chip. And I'm going to say Tony and Chip actually make sure Dragon Con happens every year more than any other two people.
Oh, that makeup was amazing.
He's hilarious. And I guess it's Shang-Chi in costume, but right. Yeah, no, and opening I got to see the opening of the masquerade this year. Just fantastic. So many folks representing characters from WandaVision, which was good.
Yep.
Can people watch all the events and things that they may have missed right now and on websites or
DragonCon TV? I think you have to pay $10 still, though, right?
Yeah, DragonCon.tv. It is a $10 charge, but you get to watch it all the way up until next DragonCon.
Yeah.
The membership goes all the way. So the earlier you sign up, the more days you get for your money. But just a warning right now, there's a lot up there. But a lot of the live shows, they're going to be up there within the next week.
So it's time. If you were there or if you couldn't make it and there's something that you missed, sign up now at DragonCon.tv. And if you want to watch yourself or see the panel that you were sitting there or the event that you were sitting there, just wait a couple of weeks like Dan said and it'll be there.
Historical stuff too you can watch from previous
years. Absolutely. And that's a whole lot of fun. And also there's content that was created only for online for DragonCon.tv. And that is was created over the summer to provide unique content for folks who couldn't see fan panels on DC TV during DragonCon. A lot of good stuff up there. A lot of authors and actors and performers getting in on that.
And speaking of authors, I wanted to mention that my favorite book from 2021, Project Hail Mary, won the DragonCon Award.
Fantastic. And my favorite science fiction show won the TV category, The Expanse.
I can't wait for that fucking show to come back. I can do only one impression of the people on that show.
No, that's the one I do. So you undercut me already. But I love anything where the guy solves all of the world's problems with press releases. So
I love The Expanse. I can't wait for it to come back.
Have you done the books?
No, and that's a goal of mine. I should do that.
And I'm saying the show is here. I like the show a lot. The books are up here.
There's more of the universe that in the books, right? Like different types of aliens and things like that.
No, not a whole lot more than that. It's just that every story goes a little bit deeper.
Okay.
And they do a really good job of doing novellas between the books that are completely standalone, but they make everything else better. So you guys, we've talked about this before. I'm a big Audible guy. So, I have everything that they've created within the Expanse universe.
And those are all on Audible? Because I have an Audible account.
They're all on Audible.
Right now I'm listening to Children of Time by Adrian Tchaikovsky. You ever heard of that?
No, I haven't, but I'm going to mark it down when I listen to this again.
It's a book about Earth colonists have terraformed a planet, and they send the ship out there with the people on it. They're going to colonize it and the scientists on it, but there are rebels who don't believe that humans should do it. And they were going to land monkeys with a virus to make them evolve faster. But it turns out the monkeys died and it ends up being insects who get the evolution virus. And then I'll let you go from there. But it's an interesting story. And there's a couple sequels or at least one sequel. I tried listening to it last year, but I was distracted by all the stress.
Sure.
And now I'm really enjoying it. But Dan?
I highly recommend Project Hail Mary too. If you haven't checked out the audio,
wrote that down. I'm gonna
audio book is fantastic.
The one panel that I did was about the Star Wars character Thrawn from the extended universe and from his new series of books. So I prepared by watching a lot of Elementary and watching House and listening to Stephen Fry read Sherlock Holmes. And that's kind of where my headspace has been.
Isn't Stephen Fry one of the best audiobook narrators?
And it's free for Audible Plus members. His Sherlock Holmes is just amazing.
Nice.
He did the first Harry Potter too, I believe, before Jim Dale. Or he did, I think he did.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think he did the English audio book release, because I've listened to both. I love Jim Dale, but I listened to Stephen Fry. Stephen Fry did the first one. So
Yeah, no, and I've been a Jim Dale fan ever since I watched his commercial on WOR all the time for Barnum.
Right.
That's right.
Was Timothy Zahn on your panel?
Yes, that was, it was a Timothy Zahn panel. And we had Daniel Eisenhower, who is runs Star Wars trivia at Dragon Con because he's not allowed to participate anymore. Just knows everything about the Star Wars universe. They call him Superfan in the Star Wars fandom. They call him that. Just a great guy. And his folks built that giant sandcrawler in the Dragon Con parade.
That thing was awesome.
And his little brother is Chess Jawa. That is a Star Wars family.
I saw Chess Jawa. There was somebody standing there. Do you want to play chess with the Jawa? And I said, no, yeah. I don't play chess. I'm not into it.
It's mostly for fundraising. I do not participate because I am really bad at chess. Mm. I have seldom got more than 4 minutes without being wiped out.
Speaking of a good cause, congratulations, Dragon Con. You raised $120,000 for Big Brother, Big Sister, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, we are so happy about that. We're so happy to contribute with that matching fund. And one of the things that this year, I was a big brother. I know what it's like. I've sat there listening to my little and, you know, showing him cool stuff, but also just hanging out with him because that's what it's all about. And I think they do so good. And I'm so happy for Kwame and everybody over at Big Brothers and Big Sisters.
I had one when I was younger. His name was Don, and he was a cool dude. He was just a cool dude, you know, and his roommate at the college where we grew up gave me his copy of Abbey Road. And I think I might've been 9 or 10, and I brought that home and listened to it over and over again. But I'll always remember the guy. He was a real nice dude. And the fun things you did, in our area, we would go to Corning Glass or do things. So I've always liked that charity.
That's fantastic. I didn't know that about you, Tim. That's
I don't really reveal all my childhood secrets.
I do. I have no boundaries whatsoever.
Before we let you go, you saw Shang-Chi today?
I did. And here is my review, spoiler-free as possible. I have long wanted to see both a Dragon Ball Z movie and an Avatar The Last Bender movie that was fantastic. What Shang-Chi gave me was characters I really cared about before any fighting took place. Awkwafina as the comic relief who ends up with a very serious role was just unbelievable. And I tend not to take her seriously because I associate her with Awkwafina from BoJack Horseman.
Right.
But everybody, Lou, Michelle Yeoh, everybody just put in amazing performances. And it was definitely within the Marvel Universe. That was very clear. They kept going back to it. But it created its own mythology, its own legends. And as somebody who read comic books in the 70s and didn't really care for Kung Fu comic books in the 70s, to watch this re-imaged, it was just a really fun movie that was really well-crafted. That's all I'll say. And there were plenty of surprises in it for me. So go see it.
I definitely.
Jeff, I'm going to reach out to you about going with you to see it next weekend, but we'll do that offline.
Yeah. Well, how was the theater experience?
Oh, I have, so during the pandemic, I went to 2 private viewings. And since January of this year, I've gone to the theater, the movies, not the theater. I've gone to the movies 3 times counting today, not counting private movie, you know, where somebody spends $300 and rents out the theater. And I have had no problems with it at any point. I keep masked until I realize that I'm going to be sitting 10 to 15 feet away from other people. And then I'm comfortable taking the mask off. Everybody, the customer service is really good now because everybody knows they got to try harder.
Oh yes.
And I was able to see the movie in IMAX in a theater with 40 people.
Wow. Where? Which theater?
I went to Kennesaw 24. And let me shout out for my main theater for the past 10 years has been AMC 15 Parkway Point.
I love that.
By Cumberland Mall. But now I live out in the boondocks, closer to Alabama. No, closer to Tennessee, it feels, to Midtown.
Well, maybe I can sneak out and go with you if you guys go see it again.
Yeah, please do, Tim. Definitely.
And I haven't had popcorn from a movie theater in 2 years, almost.
It was really good. I bought a medium or large popcorn to share with my seatmate, who's a Dragon Con. I went with somebody who does a lot of costuming for me at Dragon Con. This is my way of thanking her for showing up at 7 a.m. on Friday at Dragon Con in a really good costume. But but she didn't need anything. So yeah. But if with three of us, we can knock that out.
We can knock out two larges, maybe. I don't like to share. Anyway. All right, Dragon Con will return to Atlanta in 2022. The Labor Day weekend is September 1st through September 5th. And we hope that if you couldn't make it this year, things will go back to at least some semi-normal way of being in the fall of 2022, and we can all get together and see each other. And Dan, thank you as always for coming on the show.
Thank you very much, Tim and Jeff.
We will talk to you soon.
Adios, guys.
Bye.